yes! Good morning, Buffalo. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. It is B-Maz and Beamer with just Beamer. You got me for the next hour, and then the great David Bellavia takes over. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. How about those amazing New York Mets? It's what everyone's talking about this morning. Winning their first game of the wild card round, 8-4. Just a dominant performance. And now can move on with a win tonight, 7:38. And you can watch that on ESPN or listen on our sister station, Mets Radio 880 on the Odyssey app. Exciting. It's exciting. Only the fourth team in baseball history to start 0-5 and go to the postseason. I mean, just exciting stuff. And I realize that it's not on the top of minds of most of our listeners, but I had to start the show with just that little plug, and could not be happier. You know, after the weekend we had here in Buffalo with the Bills and their performance on Sunday, and obviously personally, the Virginia Tech game that was robbed by the ACC on Friday, nice to see the Mets clinch the playoffs Monday, win the first game of the playoffs yesterday, and could potentially finish the series tonight, have a few rest days before the NLDS starts on Saturday. But again, don't want to look too far ahead. Got to win one more game before that happens. Obviously, last night, right after the Mets game, you were tuned to WBEN for our debate coverage. And it was an interesting debate. Again, I do want to say, you know, my opinion is J.D. Vance just dominated the debate. Now, I realize that there are people out there who don't share that opinion, and that's fine. That's what this world is all about. And, you know, I'm not an idiot. I am obviously looking at this from my bias, from my point of view. And, you know, I admitted yesterday that going into the debate, I thought they were overselling Tim Walz's weak spots, right? Well, they weren't. I mean, he is just not a good debater. I'm sure he's a nice guy. And we did see something we have not seen in a while, and that is civility on the stage. I mean, it wasn't a bunch of personal attacks hurled back and forth. It was a debate on the issues. And I do think that was refreshing for a majority of Americans, and especially the Americans that these two men were picked to appeal to, and that is the undecided voter in the Midwest, in the Big Ten states. But I also don't know how you watch that and don't come away with, I mean, J.D. Vance was just the better debater. I thought he articulated the points far better than Walz did. Now, again, if you are looking at this election with certain policy points, now, a majority of Americans are going to the polls with the economy on their mind, with illegal immigration on their mind. Those are the top two things on most voters. Every poll says most voters are going to the polls with those things on their mind. And if you watch the debate with those things on your mind, I do believe that a majority of people will say J.D. Vance won. Now, if you're one of these voters that abortion's one of your top concerns, well, you might think differently. I do think that Vance and Trump are taking a different stance on abortion than Republicans have in the past. And if you listen to some of the undecided voter panels on the cable news networks afterwards, you know, I think it's a stance that will help Republicans in November. And again, you know, as Trump said, the Supreme Court handed the powers back to the states, and that's where it is now. And it does put an extra emphasis on state elections, and we'll see where it goes. But obviously, the Harris-Walz campaign, that's one of the issues that they know people who are going to the polls with that on their mind, they have an upper hand with. So, of course, they're going to bring that up, and they're going to try to make the election about that. But again, let's go back to what most Americans say is on top of their mind. And a majority of Americans say that when they go to the poll, they're going to be thinking about the economy, and they're going to be thinking about illegal immigration and the issues at the southern border. That is just a fact. 803-0930, star 930. I do want to hear what you have to say about the election last night. Now, this point about experts came up. And I've talked about this time and time again. But the issue of experts came up. And Tim Walz said, oh, the experts say. Can I just, I'm kind of sick of what the experts say. And I would be saying that if the experts said that everything Donald Trump says is right. You know, the experts, the analysts, when it comes to the economy, are telling me that the economy is better. You know, we're hearing that the economy's on the rise. The economy's taking a turn. You know whose economy's not better? You know whose economy's not taking a turn? My economy. Now, I've, on this air, admitted that, you know, in the past, I have not been the best with my money. All right, that's not the government's fault. That's 100% my fault. But I also think that over the last year or so, I've gotten a lot better with budgeting and handling my money. And guess what? It is still difficult to make ends meet. An issue I did not have 4, 5, 6 years ago. I mean, even when Obama was president, not the issues that I'm having today. And the thing is, I make more money today than I did when Obama was president or when Trump was president. So I am kind of sick when I'm being told that what I'm realizing is not real. That what I'm noticing in my life is not real. I am sick of that. And I do agree with what J.D. Vance said about the experts. The experts have gotten it wrong at times, and I think they're wrong again. You know, it's great for those of you who are every day looking at your 401k, every day looking at the market when the market is up, and I'm happy for you. And of course, we all want a thriving economy. But I think people like me are still struggling every day to, you know, put a dollar together. You know, I think people, when they go to the grocery store, even a grocery store that might be a discount grocery store, still, you know, you got to make decisions. You got to make sacrifices at the grocery store. You know, I guess I'll just have this again, which is fine. Don't get me wrong. But I think it's insulting when people who are struggling to pay rent, people who are struggling to make their car payment, people who are struggling just to get food on the table, people who, you know, might have been close to getting themselves off of living paycheck to paycheck, who are now back to living paycheck to paycheck, I think it's insulting when someone tells them, well, no, what you're realizing is not real. That's not real. The economy's better. Because it's not for a lot of people. Now, if you're, you know, someone who's making a ton of money, right, you've stashed a lot of money away, you've got a thriving savings account, you've been very good with your money, you've made a lot of money, well, no, life is good for you, and congratulations. If you'd like to pass some of that down, no. And I'm not, you know, I'm not one of these people who says the government should price control. No, I'm not for that at all. I'm just saying, you know, I have regularly been renting since 2015. All right. I rented with a roommate and then I moved into a studio apartment, which was awesome, by the way. And I never had the issues paying rent that I've had over the last 18 months. Now, again, as I said, have I always been great with money? No, I haven't. And some of that blame falls right on me, JDB. Right? Some of that does fall on me. But I have made adjustments, I would say. Obviously, you know, when you become a parent, you do grow up a little bit. you do kind of focus on things that are important. And you start thinking as we and not me. And you can definitely tell that even when making more money, when putting more money into the pot, it is more difficult for middle class, especially lower middle class America, to make ends meet than it was 5 years ago. And I don't want to hear Tim Walz and Kamala Harris tell me that it's any different. Joe Biden, I don't want them to tell me it's any different because I'm experiencing it. And hey, I respect that Tim Walz and Kamala Harris, they grew up in middle class families. I understand that. I respect that. But they are very far removed from living that lifestyle. You've got a guy who's a governor. You've got Kamala Harris, who was the vice president. Before that, she was in Senate. Before that, she was a district attorney or attorney general in California. Like, I'm sorry, you're decades removed from living in the middle class, from having those dinner table conversations. And if you're leaning on the experts to tell you what the American people have been feeling since the pandemic, well, you're not getting an accurate description. And you're not getting the real from the mouth of middle class. Because middle class in 1980 is a lot different than middle class in 2024. And the struggles are a lot different. Again, I'm not doubting that, you know, tough decisions had to be made in their life. I'm not discounting that. I'm not doubting that. I completely understand. And again, I think many Americans can relate to at some point in their life they were in the middle class. They were in a middle class family, or maybe even a lower class, and you know, living close to that poverty line. But I do believe when you are more and more removed from that, you do lean on people, on the experts, on the numbers, to tell you how things are going, and it's just not an accurate description. Again, I have a ton. I root for the American economy. I don't care who the president is, right? I root for Erie County's economy. You know, I'm no fan of Mark Poloncarz. That might be a shock to you. But hey, he tells me that Erie County's economy is doing great. That's great. That's great for local business. I'm happy for local business. I'm just saying that I would bet that there's a good number of people like me who maybe in the last few years have gotten a raise, have seen an increase in their income, who are not seeing that increase equal easier time making ends meet. Does that make sense? And I think J.D. Vance had a really good point when he talked about the experts. Because the experts have said a lot of things. I mean, the experts said that Hunter Biden's laptop wasn't real, right? When it comes to the economy, when you want to connect to people who are struggling to make ends meet, which I think in the past has been an issue for the Republican Party. But when you're talking about the Americans who are struggling to make ends meet, those Americans that are living paycheck to paycheck. By the way, there's a good number of Americans today living paycheck to paycheck who weren't living paycheck to paycheck 3 years ago. Right? They didn't lose their job. They're making the same amount of money, if not more, but the cost of living, the cost of everyday goods, the cost of gasoline, by the way, people do have to drive to work. Some people have to drive for work. Those things are all up. And yeah, the Fed decreased the interest rate. Did you see the results of that? Do you have more money in your pocket today because of that? I would beg to say that most Americans don't. And I think a lot of Americans are insulted when they're being told that, you know, the economy is getting better. The economy is better. Because if you look at those numbers, more Americans today are living paycheck to paycheck than 4 years ago, than 8 years ago. I mean, that's a problem. That's a problem that the experts can't talk down to you enough. You know what I mean? Like, that is an issue. And I think that is why when you look at polling going into to the election, that Vance, Trump have a good rating with people who say the economy is the number one issue. Now, again, it's an election, and there are a lot of people with a lot of different views on what's important at the election. You know, someone who's making $250,000 a year probably isn't going to the ballot box thinking about the economy. It's probably the same person who tells you that $3 a gallon is not too much for gas, right? And again, I'm happy that you can live such a great life. Congratulations. But in this debate, they did cover those things that aren't the economy, right? They did talk about the economy, but they also covered other things like immigration. They talked about things Tim Walz has said that's not true, that didn't happen. And it's interesting to me that Tim Walz continues, and hey, I realize there are people in this audience listening who think Tim Walz had a good debate. And I'm not telling you you're wrong. That's your perception. I'd like to hear it. 803-0930, star 930. I'm giving you my opinion. And I think that when you... This is obvious that anytime he gets caught in a lie, he's a knucklehead, he's a goofball, he doesn't understand the English language, right? It's never he just made a mistake. Or it's never, yeah, you know what? I exaggerated the truth. It's got to be, he's playing this goofy persona. You know, Ben Shapiro says he's playing the role of a 90s sitcom dad. Like, just, he's the simpleton. That's the role he's played ever since Kamala Harris picked him to be the VP candidate. I mean, think about what the first time we saw Kamala Harris and Tim Walz talking to each other. Tim Walz was telling us about, oh, you know, I just like white guy tacos. Oh, what does that mean? That means I don't like a lot of spice. Turned out to be a lie. Because he won the recipe for a spicy, I don't know, spicy food contest that Al Franken was putting on. I mean, but the guy, that obviously he was told before making public appearances that you're going to be out there, you're the simpleton. You're the simpleton 90s sitcom dad. Again, I don't think that resonates with a lot of people. But I also don't think it works when you're caught in now multiple lies. Multiple exaggerations of the truth. And by the way, you're listening to the king of exaggerating the truth, okay? I am the king of exaggerating the truth. But when caught, and when you run for office, you're going to get caught in telling, that's why I'll never run for office. I don't need to get caught in exaggerating the truth. And when you play that simpleton line over and over again to describe why you exaggerated the truth, I just don't think it works. And when you watch, again, I mean, MSNBC was having a complete meltdown after the debate last night. I think that kind of tells you how the debate went. Now, does it mean anything? That's part two of this. Does it mean anything? Because like I said, I think a majority of people will watch that and say, hey, J.D. Vance, he articulated the points well. A lot of people wish that Donald Trump could talk like J.D. Vance. But if abortion's top of your mind, or if January 6th is a top of your mind, you probably think that Tim Walz did a good job in the debate. Because those are the things that you were hanging on to. Again, polls would show that's not a majority of voters. But if those are the things that are on top of your mind when you go to the ballot box, you probably think that Tim Walz had a good debate. But if you look at the 90 minutes... And went a little over last night, by the way. If you look at the 90 minutes, I think it's clear that J.D. Vance is the better debater. He's a better debater than Donald Trump. Again, I wish J.D. Vance could work with Donald Trump on how to debate. You know, didn't let anything get under his skin. This didn't turn into a debate about crowd size at a rally. I mean, J.D. Vance was there, and he stuck to the topic. He articulated the points. I think J.D. Vance has articulated the points of the Donald Trump campaign better than Mike Pence ever did, and better than Donald Trump's ever has, or anyone else on that team. And, you know, when Trump picked Vance, I kind of questioned it. I was a big Glenn Youngkin fan. I still am a big Glenn Youngkin fan, by the way. I think a guy that can be that popular in a purple state, I mean, that's the idea. Him, Ron DeSantis, that's what the Republican Party should be looking at. Those are people who have expanded the party. Just like Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania, wildly popular Democratic governor in a swing state, probably the most important swing state. And you watched this debate last night and you wondered to yourself, why did Josh Shapiro not get picked? Because I've heard Josh Shapiro talk. He's actually a regular on Fox News for a Democrat. He's a regular on Fox News. I've heard the guy talk. He's got approval. He's got positive approval, not only from Democrats, but from Republicans. And then you watch this guy last night. And again, I realize there are people out there who think Tim Walz did a good job. And that's your opinion. I'd love to hear it. 803-0930, star 930. But I think for a lot of us, we watch that and go, man, why did Josh Shapiro not get the VP in a very important swing state? A very popular governor. J.D. Vance answered why he got the nod for VP last night and why it wasn't a Glenn Youngkin. I don't think Tim Walz did. 803-0930, star 930, Beamer, for BMAZ and Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, welcome back. It is BMAZ and Beamer. Brian off today. You're stuck with just Joe for another 21 minutes, and then David Bellavia will be in here. David Bellavia will be in here. 803-0930, star 930. That is the number to get on talking about the debate last night. First, I have to say, you ever just like forget people get older? Like, I saw today Sting. It's Sting's birthday, by the way. Happy birthday, Sting. He's 73. Sting is 73 years old. Can you believe that? Yesterday, Jimmy Carter turned 100. And, God bless him. You can say what you want about his presidency. I wasn't alive during it, but seemed like a really nice guy. You know, he'd get on the airplane and he'd shake everyone's hand before takeoff. Well, he turned 100 yesterday, and hey, that's a milestone that, you know, I hope to make, but let's be honest, probably won't. Turned 100 yesterday, had a celebration. You know, he's not in the best of health, as we know. You know, he's got hospice home care. And they brought him outside, which, I mean, obviously, it's a nice day, and they bring him outside. Did we have to get the cameras on the former president? I mean, he's not in the best health. I don't think that's how people would want to remember Jimmy Carter. I thought that was in poor taste, putting the camera on Jimmy Carter. I mean, he was, you know, in his wheelchair. I'm sure he was having a great time and enjoying his 100th birthday with family and friends. But, I mean, a little privacy, a little decency. We did not need a camera on the former president. Again, when he's in his final time. Again, hospice care, doing great work, but we didn't need the cameras following the former president in his backyard as he was celebrating with family and friends. I just thought that was in poor taste. I don't know. I don't know if anyone else saw that. It did not feel right watching that video. But God bless him and making it to 100. And we'll see. We'll see how long. I think it'd be awesome to make it to 100. It depends. Depends how your health is, though, obviously, right? You know, my grandmother, she's 99. She'll turn 100 in February. She's, for 99, she's in pretty good shape. You know, she's still pretty sharp. You know, she knows what's going on, current events. She watches a lot of TV, watches her soaps still. Hey, if I'm like her at 99, of course I want to make it to 100. And then you have, you know, poor Betty White didn't make it to 100. 17 days short of making it to 100, and it seemed like Betty White was going to be with us forever. But Sting, 73. I have to say, Sting looks pretty good for 73. 803-0930, star 930, that gets you on the show. The debate last night, you heard the live coverage here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And like I said, I thought J.D. Vance did what J.D. Vance had to do, right? A lot of people said that J.D. Vance was an awful choice. People were questioning the choice of J.D. Vance. And I thought he handled the debate better than we've seen a candidate in this election cycle, be it Biden, Trump, Harris, Walz. I think he handled the debate better than any candidate has in 2024. There are some things that if you don't agree with J.D. Vance, no matter how he articulates the point, you're going to say that he had an awful debate. I get that, right? If you don't like his answers on certain things, and believe me, I've been very vocal. I don't agree with everything that Trump and Vance, stand for. I agree with most of it, but I don't agree with everything. You know, I don't agree with the way certain things were handled. I've been very vocal about that too. You know, I thought Donald Trump had every right to question the election. I mean, every election that I've been alive for seems to have been questioned, right? I mean, there are still Democrats that say Al Gore won in 2000. There are still Democrats who say that Donald Trump was illegitimate because he didn't really win in 2016. I didn't think there was any problem with Donald Trump, you know, challenging the results and going to court over the results of the election. But when you've exercised every turn, you know, I do think that eventually you have to say, you know, it was a good fight. It was a close election. We lost. And I will say that, you know, I think Trump ran an awful campaign in October of 2020. I've been very consistent on this. I think he ran an awful October campaign. He was going against Hillary Clinton, it seems, still, and not Joe Biden. So I do think that's something that I've said for 4 years. Trump needs to get away from. Stop living in 2020. Stop trying to redo the 2020 election. You didn't run a great campaign. And by the way, there have been a few mistakes in this campaign where I think Trump has not run the best campaign. But stop going back to 2020, right? It was a close election. It was a weird year, right? COVID and everything. It was a weird year. I'm not going to discount that. It was a strange year. But you exercised your challenges. The election's over. Let's talk about 24. That's 35 days away. I don't want to hear about 2020, right? Joe Biden was elected the president. Donald Trump left the White House. Biden's been the president. He hasn't been a good president, but he's been the president. And I just wish that Trump, Vance, anyone associated with that campaign, when they're asked about 2020, just say, hey, you know, we're focused on 2024. Like, stop trying to convince people that you won 2020. It's over. It's 4 years ago. Right? I've given up on trying to convince people that the ACC stole a victory from Virginia Tech on Friday. They did, but I'm not going to convince people of it anymore. Hey, it's over. It's over. Miami gets the win. It's not right, but they get the win. And you can feel however you want to feel about 2020. It's over. Stop talking about it. Like, I'm so sick of hearing people talk about 2020. It was 4 years ago. The election's over. The pandemic's over. Joe Biden was elected president. Has he done a good job? No. No, he hasn't, in my opinion. But I think you turn a lot of people off. And again, I think Trump's biggest weakness is he doesn't know how to reach out. He might do it even when he's not correctly doing it. He does not know how to reach out to swing voters. Donald Trump is great about getting his base fired up. There's no doubt that Donald Trump's base would walk through lava, would cross lava to vote for him, right? That there's no doubt about that. Donald Trump is not great at getting swing voters. Again, in 2016, he was good at being the guy who wasn't the politician. And Hillary Clinton was just not likable at all. But he is not good at getting swing voters. And swing voters don't want to hear about your gripes from 2020. That is such a turnoff. And I just wish Trump, Vance, again, anyone associated with that campaign would just get away from it. Looking back at 2020, no, we're not. We're looking forward to 2024. There's an election in 34 days. Let's stop talking about the one 4 years ago. And it just, it seems like Trump, when it's brought up, he has to go into full attack mode. Again, he gets sidetracked, and he's not sitting there talking about policy. He's sitting there claiming that he still won in 2020, when again, his base might want to hear that. Swing voters don't want to hear that. The people who are going to decide the election in Pennsylvania, in Arizona, in North Carolina, in Georgia, don't want to hear that. They don't care. There's not one swing voter who cares about 2020. There's a swing voter that wants to know, who am I voting for in 2024? And am I even going to go to the ballot box? So that would be my biggest gripe with this campaign and with the Trump-Vance ticket. Because at first it was Vance. Like, I was not... I was surprised by the Vance pick. I questioned the Vance pick again at the time before the Democrats pulled the old switcheroo. Biden was struggling in Virginia. I thought Glenn Youngkin would have been a great selection to get Virginia. I mean, Virginia's still within 5 points. But after last night, and, you know, I mean, it's not just last night, the interviews that J.D. Vance has given. I mean, J.D. Vance seems to be on a Sunday show every week. If he'd like to come on Hardline, open invitation. But he seems to be on a Sunday show every week. And I think he's proven why that he was the right pick. Win or not in November, I think J.D. Vance was the right pick. He does a great job of articulating what Trump wants to say. And there are times where I wish Trump talked like J.D. Vance. He doesn't. And like Michael Crocker said yesterday, That's just something we're going to have to, you know, you've either accepted it or you don't. But J.D. Vance does a great job of getting the points across. And I think the way J.D. Vance talks and the way he can relate to, again, the middle class, to middle America, I think J.D. Vance is very relatable. And I think he puts things in terms where people can go, you know what, the way he said it makes sense. You know, some in the media might distort some of the policies of the Trump administration, or the Trump campaign. And I think the way J.D. Vance articulates it really helps the Trump campaign. And I think we saw that last night. Again, Tim Walz, I don't get the pick of Tim Walz. Again, nothing against him. He's obviously a liked governor in Minnesota. I don't get the appeal of Tim Walz. He seems like a simpleton. He's not a great debater. Now, again, if you watched the debate last night and your main thing was abortion or January 6th, you probably think Tim Walz did a good job. But he's not a great debater. He's been hidden from the media more than Biden in 2020. So I don't get the appeal of Tim Walz. And you know, after watching that last night, I do have to ask myself, why did the Democrats not go with Josh Shapiro? I'm not even sure Pennsylvania is in play with Josh Shapiro as the VP. Now, I know people are going to say, Joe, the VP is not that important. But when it's someone as popular as Shapiro is in Pennsylvania, just like Youngkin in Virginia, and you have a state that it seems every poll, Pennsylvania bounces back and forth between Harris and Trump. Like, you look at that and go, well, Josh Shapiro is well-liked by Democrats and Republicans. He's a good speaker. And it's probably the most important state in this election. So I'm not sure what the appeal of Tim Walz was. I'm not sure who he's appealing to. I don't think a Minnesota Democrat appeals to, you know, the voters that he's trying to appeal to in Michigan or Wisconsin. But I could be wrong. I'm not a swing voter. I'm not a voter in Michigan or Wisconsin. My mind's made up. So again, he's not trying to appeal to me. So maybe I'm not the one who's supposed to see it. I can't relate to a undecided voter in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania. That's not me. I'm just saying I don't see the appeal of Tim Walz. I am seeing the appeal of J.D. Vance. Also from a state that's not a swing state. I mean, Ohio's not really up for grabs. Minnesota's not up for grabs. So both VP candidates aren't really from important swing states, but they're there to try to appeal to those big 10 states that are going to decide the election. So it's very interesting all around. And again, I thought it was a refreshing debate. I will give both candidates that. Like, I thought it was nice to not hear the personal attacks, to not hear someone go off on something that's completely unrelated. Tim Walz did have a difficult time, I think, explaining his lie about being in Hong Kong. I think he's, you know, pretty much admitted exaggerating the truth when it comes to his military service. But it was nice to see them shake hands. It was nice to see afterward they were up there with their wives and they were having what seemed to be a very civil conversation. I will say this. They seem like two likable guys, right? I mean, both J.D. Vance and Tim Walz, I can imagine going and having a drink with. Now, until Tim Walz acts like the goofy 90s sitcom dad, and I think that's all an act. Like, I really think Tim Walz is trying too hard to be the simpleton. You know, I mean, he's like, people have that video of Chris Farley going on Letterman, running down the aisles. I mean, it does seem like Tim Walz is trying to be Chris Farley on Letterman every time he's at an event. You know, just like kind of like this goofy simpleton. I think he's trying really hard. Like, do you think that's how he was acting when he was coaching high school football? Yeah, you see him running around like that, with, you know, goofy and everything. I'm sure that's not how he was on the football field when he was, you know, when they were doing drills. So I do think there's a question if the Tim Walz we see on the camera is really Tim Walz. Like, is that the guy doing the Chris Farley running around, you know, trying to be all goofy? But again, they do both seem like likable people. You know, they were able to hold a conversation with each other afterward and they were laughing and their wives were talking to each other. I mean, again, I think it was one of the more civil debates that we have seen in a decade. And that was refreshing. And there are going to be people who, you know, are going to take some points from things that Tim Walz said. And that's, you know, again, that's fine. You've got your bias. I have mine. what's the most important if you're the campaign is how this reached with swing voters. And that is what we will have to wait and see when some of the polls come out. But again, the polls are just a snapshot in time. We learned that in 2016. But 34 days to the election, early voting in New York State starting soon. You got a Senate election also. There was a Senate debate on PIX 11 in New York City an hour before the VP debate with Kirsten Gillibrand and Michael Cepricone. Saw some highlights of that as well. You know, obviously, Michael entering that race is a big underdog, but still, you know, doing the debate. And I applaud Kirsten Gillibrand for doing the debate as well. Wish it had a little more exposure throughout the state. But, you know, the election's ramping up. It seems like yesterday we were talking about the midterm elections. And here we are, a little over a month away from Election Day 2024. And obviously, you'll be able to hear all the details and the whole thing play out right here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I want to thank you for this hour. Always great talking with you, joining you in your office, in your car, in your home. Take us everywhere on the Odyssey app. If you're in your house and you don't have a radio, make sure you ask Alexa to play News Radio 930 WBEN. Have yourself a great hump day, a great Wednesday. Don't touch that dial, because after a great detailed newscast with Lucas Buckley, you will have 4 hours of the great David Bellavia here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Go Mets. We'll talk to you tomorrow.